Welcome to another edition of Face to Face with our new series of interviews with Iran's presidential hopefuls. This time we are joined by Mr. Mohsen Rezaei, who also ran as a presidential hopeful 4 years ago. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Rezaei. Mr. Rezaei, first of all, I'd like to know how you define principalist, and do you consider yourself a principalist? Are you running as a principalist or as an independent?
In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, I have taken part independently in these elections. Of course, before the Islamic Revolution, I've had a party known as the Mansurun Society that was politically active until 1981. I consider the dialogue of the revolution as a social one by referring to reforms in culture and economy leading to a good life for my people. That's why I do stick to the political dialogue of the first and the second decade of the revolution, but I consider today's dialogue as a cultural and an economic one.
Where does this stand in Iran's political scene? We know the principalists and the reformists. Where does this new dialogue stand?
I must say that unfortunately the principalists, the reformists, and even the Iranian opposition have more stuck to the issue of power, disregarding the fact that the people of Iran have for years left behind the issue of formation of power and are now dealing with issues of their daily lives. And they cannot offer a proper model for economic and cultural development for the country. Our country needs to have a social movement to be able to produce wealth and culture and strengthen both of them at the same time.
In this new perspective that you are offering, how would you define Iran's economy?
I believe in a popular economy based on economic freedoms in the market and economic functions according to scientific theories. But I believe that its model should be based on the people, starting from small businesses at homes and small and large enterprises. I do believe in an economy whose social aspect is bolder than its political aspect.
Can you be more specific about this?
A popular economy is different than a political economy in a sense that it stresses on the presence of people and social groups such as families, provinces, and cities rather than individuals. But there's a difference between this economy and liberalism and socialism, meaning that despite individuals and governments, there is a third reality, and that is a society and social groups, which they have a reality and can play a role in economy and politics. The formation of a popular economy will lead to a third approach in the economy rather than liberalism and socialism, and I wish that we would be the first to introduce such a model to the Iranian economy.
Now that you're defining a new structure, do you believe that the infrastructure for defining this new way of looking at the economy exists in Iran?
No. I think that we have to build these infrastructures, such as federal economy. We have to give more authority to the provinces in economy, trade, science, technology, and health care. From the perspective of a central government, I think that such a government has to be more a leader and a supervisor rather than getting directly involved. And different armed and non-armed government bodies should stay away from the economy. Our dynamic economy should be based on rural and urban economies. Therefore, the difference between this economy and the political economy is that in this economy, social groups play a more active role in building the national economy. Therefore, the infrastructure of a national economy is built by the economies in cities and rural areas, in homes and in provinces. the private sector will become active.
In this new model, where does the private sector stand? And what about foreign investors?
Foreign trade will become active, and also the market will become active. But its model will be different than that of a liberal economy, where the city or a village will play its role as an individual identity. We might have something that I define as a city enterprise or a village enterprise rather than a private enterprise. A city or a village could play a role as an enterprise. At the same time, private sectors would also be active there. The function of a city or a village will in fact be an integral system, so we could have a singular or a plural private sector.
What about foreign investors? How are you planning to attract more foreign investments in Iran?
Our problem is that the condition inside Iran has made it difficult for absorbing foreign investment. In addition to that, business atmosphere is not prepared and our relations with other countries are not stable enough. My first effort will be to strengthen and mobilize the business atmosphere inside the country, sending a positive signal to outside Iran so that foreign investors would be interested in the Iranian market. Then I will try to stabilize foreign relations, and I will try to encourage Iranian investors outside Iran to come to Iran.
Of course, I will go back to the issue of foreign policy from your point of view, but one of the main issues regarding Iran's economy at the moment, which has the spotlight on it, is the subsidy reform plan and the cash handouts to the people. Do you believe that this was a good policy that was implemented in Iran, and will you continue this?
On the issue of subsidies, I consider myself responsible to continue the responsibilities of the former government, because any irresponsibility will lead to further instability. But in the second phase, I will link the cash handouts to production. This means that the cash handout for every single Iranian family will be an equivalent of 650,000 riyals, which will first go to production and investment, and then will return to the families with an interest. A period of 6 months will create an opportunity for us to increase the national savings up to 300,000 billion riyals in a period of 1 year. And this cash will help increase productivity and investment in the country to create jobs. So the subsidies will be on a new rail towards production and investment and creating more jobs.
Now let's talk more about your view about Iran's foreign policy. How do you think the government has so far acting regarding the issues, the important issues in Iran's foreign policy, including the nuclear issue and direct talks with the United States?
In my opinion, there is a good opportunity for dialogues, a new dialogue between Iran and the United States, where the leader of the Islamic Revolution has permitted that in the framework of nuclear talks in the P5+1, we could start dialogues with the United States. And I hope that the Americans will take this opportunity for granted, so a new window will open in dialogues. But the condition is that the Americans would engage in fair and honest talks with Iran, and a good list would shape up between the two countries.
So am I correct in presuming that you are okay with having direct negotiations with the United States?
In the framework of nuclear talks, yes.
How do you think this can help Iran?
The talks because it is on the most important issue of Iran, which is the nuclear issue, and economic sanctions could clearly open a new way. It depends on the behavior of the Americans.
So far, are you happy with the way the negotiations have gone? Or do you believe that previous governments could have done better?
No, I do not agree with the current procedure of talks because it has only killed time and have not borne any tangible results for Iran.
How do you think the sanctions have affected Iran's economy? Since you're an economist, I would like to know your point of view. Do you believe that the economic problems that the Iranian public is now facing is a result of the foreign sanctions, or is it wrong policies implemented in the country?
I consider 30% of our economic problems related to the sanctions, but I regard 70% of them directly as a result of mismanagement and sanctioning ourselves and shooting ourselves in the foot politically. If we try to overcome these three issues, we can lift many of these pressures off the shoulders of our people, and I do believe that we have to put an end to these sanctions, and they must not continue.
Since you're introducing a new dialogue, which is neither the principalist nor the reformist dialogue, do you consider the principalists and reformists your rivals, and do you think that they can unite in order to become stronger rivals for you?
If I become the president, I will put an end to political arguments. Unfortunately, political rivalries have gone out of line and turned into political confrontations. The main reason is that the two groups have not been able to put forward a plan to leave behind the current problems of the country, use efficient people who believe in the system, disregarding their political affiliations. In the big government that we will shape, we will try to use the most efficient people who believe in the system, disregarding all their political affiliations. The main objective would be to leave behind the current problems of the country, both inside and outside the country. That's why I'm very optimistic that I can put an end to these arguments.
Am I correct in assuming that in case you become president, you will have both reformists and principalists in your cabinet?
I'd rather say a big government with all national capabilities. From different tribes and ethnic groups, from different layers of people, different political viewpoints, and reformists who believe in the values of the system.
How do you think you can bring these people close enough to make them work as a team? At the moment, they don't seem like people who would work together. They're more like rivals.
Currently, the country is in a situation in which we can define a strong national will. Usually when a nation confronts problems from the outside, internal rivalries lose color. We are going to make two opportunities out of sanctions. One will be national unity, and the other one will be the development of our economy, which would include distancing ourselves from an economy which is totally dependent on oil revenues, aimed at building other columns rather than oil under the Iranian economy.
Under the current circumstances, considering the sanctions, the pressure coming from Western countries, and the situation inside Iran, why do you think this election is important?
This election is important because of a number of reasons. One is that it is taking place after the 2009 post-election incidents, and the participation of people is very important because it shows that democracy in Iran is alive and it's not dead. Democracy leaves behind big events, but still continues to live. The other issue is that the government that comes out of this election would be very effective if it would be our government, which is based on the economy. We could rebuild the economy inside the country and make a good dialogue with other countries, and this would be a breakthrough for the Iranian economy.
In what ways have you changed over the past 4 years, especially now that you mentioned the presidential election of 2009 and the events that happened afterwards? Has the Mohsen Rezai that we knew from 4 years ago changed?
During this term, I have had enough time. During the past term, I had only 30 days. But right now, I have started my plans and my connections with people for a number of months. And secondly, I have used the other past election as a basis for this election. During that time, at the very last moment, we were able to say that we had a plan for the Iranian economy, but people didn't have enough time to decide. But today, they do have this time. And additionally, the two sides that were competing were not able to bring any tangible success for the people of Iran. And this comparison could also help me in my way.
How familiar have people become with your policies and your plans over the past months?
I cannot say that very much, or the people, but progress has been very good.
I would like to give an example. For example, the cash handouts, the subsidy reform plan. These are keywords that can mobilize the public. Do you have any keywords that can mobilize the public?
Yes, I could say that it's a green handout for agricultural development. We will increase the guaranteed prices. For instance, this year we will buy a kilogram of wheat for 9,000 reals, whereas the norm of the government is currently under 7,000 reals. We will pay subsidies to all agricultural activities that include mechanizing, correcting the soil, or recycling, for example. This will create a revolution in the field of green subsidies. We will also support some 5 million families in large cities with small businesses, and we will be paying them their profit in the framework of household subsidies. And this will be the government who is paying the profit, and the banks will not be charging them any interest rate at all. And this would be only in the case that those people would use their money in small businesses at home. This will create more jobs and increase productivity among those 5 million families during the 4 years that I'm president. Generally, this will be focused mostly on women and those students who have just graduated. We will hand out loans for self-employment. Regarding national shares or justice shares, we will create an opportunity for them so that they can buy and sell these shares. And shareholders will be exempted from paying the rest of their debt to the government.
It seems that your plans mostly revolve around the economy. How do you think your foreign policy can accentuate that? How can it make it more successful?
Iran has very good levers in the region, and these regional levers have not yet been properly used in our foreign policy. We are now one of the strong supporters of Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. We are strong supporters of the Iraqi government. We are present in the Persian Gulf, and unfortunately, we have not used even 10% of our foreign policy potentials. And I will be using all this potential and will do all I can to start a regional game which revolves around the national interests of Iran in the region. The world does need that currently because it is falling short of solutions in this region. They cannot maintain security in Afghanistan. They have problems in Afghanistan and Bahrain. The issue of Palestine has already taken so long, and I will be using all those levers to the benefit of Iran's national interests.
Do you believe that the foreign policy that Iran's next president can pursue is the reason why Western countries, particularly the United States, are so careful about who will become Iran's next president?
خیلی من اینطور فکر نمی‌کنم.
I don't think this way because they already know that issues related to foreign policy is mostly decided by the leader of the Islamic Revolution. But they have recognized that a government with good plans and a government which is tangible and understandable in its behavior could work in this foreign policy framework and play a better regional and international role. We could say yes, and at the same time, no. It depends on whether the government could benefit from this equilibrium and maintain an effective diplomacy in the framework of Iran's foreign policy. And I think that they are mostly concerned about Iran's influence in the region. And if a government could increase the influence of Iran in the region and use more levers of dialogue by Iran in the region, this could attract a lot of positive attention.
How do you think Western countries, and namely the United States, would like to be able to affect the upcoming elections?
Unfortunately, the Americans and the West are mostly using media and propaganda, which are in the hands of people who are not able to relate with the people of Iran, meaning that those who are in foreign media nowadays and are following the American interests in Iran have mostly destroyed the interests of the United States, and they are not wise people. That is why in 2009 we did see how they acted, which was not good. And I think if the Americans, the Europeans and Westerns in general, instead of these incorrect ways, adopt other methods, they would be more successful. I personally am a pro of the diplomacy of the elite. Now, I know a lot of elite in Iran who are in connection with foreign academies, and I believe that they can create a mutual understanding between the elite of Iran and other countries. I think there would be a way for a positive and proper influence on each other. Otherwise, what is taking place currently in the American and Western media is not going to bring any positive results in shaping up a proper relation between Iran and them.
Since you went back to 4 years ago and the 2009 presidential elections, the West always tries to question Iran's elections. And do you believe that the elections in Iran are free and fair? How does the result prove that these elections are free and fair?
I believe that if the West would recognize the values that they recognize for themselves, for other nations like us, they would definitely have to treat us better. But because they think that they are in some kind of a confrontation with us, they do not recognize those values for us as well. What is important is for an election to take place in a legal framework. And if there are problems, and those in opposition would refer to a judge, that would be enough, in my opinion. If they say that the Guardian Council was wrong, of course, that is the final judge. But I do believe that we have to correct the election law of Iran, which does have some shortcomings. And it is an old law, and we will definitely do that. I believe that one of the first political reforms that we have to do should take place in the framework of correcting the election law. So I think when an election takes place and those who are opposed to the results are able to refer to a judge, then that election could be regarded as a fair one, even if people like us would think that our interests are in contradiction to the law. That is the law, and it has to be abided. I believe that if there is a weakness in the law, we have to go and correct the law. Of course, I did abide by the election results, but I was continuously following the issue. If I become the president, then I will have more open hands to correct the election law. From the beginning of the revolution up to now, there have been unpredictable incidents. For example, the success of Mr. Bani Sadr against Mr. Habibi. But those who were closer to the system believed that Mr. Habibi would win, but this did not happen. Or during the elections between Mr. Khatami and Mr. Natif Nuri, it was Mr. Khatami who won the vote. And that was to the surprise of many people who could not predict such a result. Or even during the reformists, somebody was chosen who was not even let inside the cabinet, whereas all the power in the interior ministry and the elections were in the hands of reformists. And the issues that they put forward regarding the fairness of elections in Iran are based on the false information that they receive from some political groups inside the country. And when their predictions about the elections in Iran prove to be incorrect, they start bringing excuses, and this is because of the lack of understanding they have from the political atmosphere inside Iran.
I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. Thank you very much for joining us, and keep watching Face to Face with our new series of interviews with Iran's presidential hopefuls. Thank you and goodbye.